How many here enjoy failing? Nobody likes to fail. Does anybody beside myself fail at times? How many remember report card day? It used to put shockwaves through my being. And especially if I hadn't been paying attention. I was one of those students that was probably, I don't want to claim that, but sometimes I had an attention deficit disorder. And I was always a dreamer. I was always thinking about something else I'd rather be doing when I should have been there. You know, as a wise man once said, wherever you find yourself, be there. So if you're here today, put away the stuff, all right, that would distract you, and let's get with what God is doing right now in this moment, all right? Let's be here, and let's be together, and let's be attentive, because God wants to speak to us. Amen. And God will use us, amen, as his vessels to do so. But I remember the report card days, and I also realized I had some teachers that were quite gracious. Because I'm thinking, oh man, they're having a parent-teacher night. And I just know they're going to tell on me. Yeah, and sometimes they come back and my mom would be smiling or something. I'm like, what happened? You know, and then all of a sudden I like that teacher a whole lot more now. You know, but yeah, because, you know, sometimes we try our best too. Sometimes we're not giving it the effort that we could, but other times we're trying our best and yet we still fail. We still make mistakes. And we know that if we are walking closely with the Holy Spirit and we're doing what God shows us to do, then we won't fail. But we fail because we fail to trust and lean on, rely on the ability that God supplies us to do what we're called to do, which we cannot do apart from him. So we need to trust and obey the Lord and learn how to walk with him. But life is a series of tests. Life is full of successes and failures. And the title of today's message is Failure and Success. Failure and Success. No one likes to fail, but sometimes our failures can be a means to our success. God doesn't want you to fail. He doesn't want me to fail. But he knows that sometimes we will. God doesn't want us to fail. But sometimes we do. And it doesn't surprise God. He knows beforehand what we're going to do because he sees the future. So he's not shocked or surprised. He already knows. And what he's trying to do is to teach us how to walk with him so that we can be what he calls success. And what God calls success is his will, accomplishing his will. To be successful is to accomplish the purpose or the mission, right, that God has given us in this world. That's very important, guys, that we are in a place where we learn to listen, learn to obey the Spirit of the Lord. His commandment is love. His commandment is life. The enemy wants to offer us cheap replacements. Lesser things to try to distract us from the greater things. He's good at offering us alternatives to what God wants. Because he's a thief and he wants to rob you of your inheritance. He wants to steal from you what God wants to give to you. You see, he is a good father, isn't he? And he gives good gifts to his children because he wants to. But the devil is a liar and a thief, and he's the one that robs. He's the one that brings destruction in homes and families and in societies. Amen. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. There's a devil that we're contending with, and we all have to guard ourselves. But the Bible makes it clear that there's a big difference between failing a test and being a failure. We've all failed. We've all failed tests. But failing a test does not make you a failure. And that's what we need to understand. Because when you do fail, the enemy wants to come along and tell you it's because you're a failure. He wants to throw upon you an identity that is not true to who you are in Christ. And so you have to have the ability, even sometimes, to laugh at yourself. Oh, Keith, you did it again. You know, I used to be so hard on myself growing up. You know, because I was always trying to live up to an expectation that was oftentimes unrealistic. Something I couldn't really do. But in my mind, I wanted to achieve this goal in my mind, or to live this certain standard. And I always felt like I couldn't quite reach it. You know, sometimes, guys, we're giving ourselves, we're putting things on our own plate that God hasn't given us. We're putting expectations on ourselves that God hasn't put on us. The expectations that God has for us, He also provides the grace for us to do. And so Romans 3:23 says, for all have what? Sinned. In other words, all of us have missed the mark. And we fall short of the glory of God. So sometimes failing a test can serve to motivate us to prepare and be ready for the next one. God wanted Israel to learn from their failures. Rather than give up, to quit, or to complain, just to say, okay, I messed that one up. I need to go back and regroup and learn from my mistake so I can correct the future. God wants you correcting your future, you see. And God doesn't want us to be stubborn, because He loves us. And when we're stubborn, we're allowing the enemy to continue to mess us up, because we're not listening to the instruction of our loving Father, who only wants good for His children. King David knew personal failure, didn't he? And yet he was known as a man after God's own heart. And why was that? Well, Acts 13:22 says, but God removed Saul. As a matter of fact, that's what we're talking about in Sunday school this morning. And He replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will what? Do everything I want him to do. That's what pleases the Father, that we have faith, that we trust Him. And when you trust Him, you'll obey Him. If we're honest, we will admit we have not always done everything God wants us to do. Has anybody here always done everything God wanted you to do? Don't raise that hand. We'll be praying, having an altar call here. But just because we have failed God does not mean that God has thrown us away, or that He has given up on us. This is a word for somebody today. Our God, our Father, is merciful. He's long-suffering. He's saying, son, learn from it. Amen. Sometimes failure is a means to succeeding. We can see, well, okay, that didn't work. Next time, I'm going to learn to listen. I'm going to start listening. Again, failing a test can prepare us to succeed when the next one comes. Has anybody here ever had a situation where you were talking to somebody? Maybe you had an opportunity to witness to somebody, and you just felt like you really flubbed it, and you didn't quite, you know, it didn't come out right, or you felt like, man, why didn't I say that? You walked away later, and then you got, like, the information you needed after the fact. You ever get that? Okay. And, well, guess what? That's because the Holy Spirit, He understands our weakness, and sometimes we do miss Him, because sometimes we're not really listening or relying on Him like we should. We're just trying to go from this thing up here, you know. Well, I read in a book how to do this, you know. Well, we really need to rely upon the Holy Spirit, who will teach us, right? In that hour, we need to ask Him for help. But sometimes we miss it. And so the Holy Spirit will later, He says, this is what you should have said. And so the next time that opportunity arises, and it does, it may be a different person, but guess what? You're ready for it. So through failure, you can learn how to succeed. We practice this life. The Christian life is something that we practice. We live out. We walk out. There's going to be trial. There's going to be error. But the Father has grace for error and for failure. And you're not a failure again because you made a mistake. A failure is one who just quits, who gives up. And David wasn't a quitter. David was a man, even though he had failed God and he was broken and miserable because he had failed God and he had sinned, God still loved him. And David still pursued the Lord, still worshiped the Lord, still wanted God in his life. He wanted things to be right. He was so miserable because things were not right, because he hadn't settled it. How many have ever been in a place where you know God has been dealing with you and dealing with you, and you keep putting it off and trying to deny it, and it just keeps eating at you and eating at you until finally you say, okay, God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get it right. You know, the prophet Jeremiah said in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 19, this is when Israel was in Babylonian exile and they were suffering because of their own failure to obey the Lord. And he said, remember my affliction in roaming, the wormwood and the gall, in other words, the bitterness. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. And this I recall to mind. Therefore, I have hope. Now, listen how he transitions here. He was sorrowful. He had been, you know, experiencing the bitterness and really of the judgment of God that had come on the nation. But then he shifts in verse 21, and this I recall to my mind. I remember this. Therefore, I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. I love that. One of my favorite hymns is Great is Thy Faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. You see, the city of Jerusalem was in shambles. It was reduced to rubble because of the invading Babylonians. And all hope seemed to be lost. But again, Jeremiah would then reflect and remember the faithfulness of the Lord. You see, this was a man who did know the heart of God. And therefore, he had hope. He had faith that his God would be there for him. Even if things externally didn't change, he knew that he had hope in the Lord. He knew he had a refuge in him. He knew he had a place where he could escape to and find rest for his soul. So he remembered the Lord had never failed him in the past. And therefore he had faith that God wouldn't forsake him in the future. So he declared in verse 23, when he said in verse 22 that his compassions, they fail not, he said this, they are what? New every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So guys, it's time for us to put to rest the failures, the mistakes of the past. And time to go on. Time to, amen, to move forward now in the new day, the new thing that God is doing. And we thank God that there is an advocate, amen, with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, our faithful high priest. We can come to him and we can make our confession. And you need to leave those burdens there. Leave them at the altar. Don't pick it back up. Don't live in shame. Don't live in regret. Trust the Lord. His mercy is available to you. There's mercy at the cross. And we're never alone. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, and this is the Great Commission. When the Lord is instructing his disciples, he said in verse 20, what? Teaching them to observe all things. He says, this is what I want you to do, is teach those who come after you to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, what? I love this. I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. That often encourages my heart. I just remember God's promise. As a child of God, as a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, amen, God is always with me. He said, I am with you always. And King David wasn't a quitter. God saw something in David that David probably didn't see in himself. And you know, the same thing can be true about us. Often we're not seeing anything good in us. But God sees something. He sees treasure. He sees preciousness in you. He sees value in you. Because you don't redeem something that's worthless, remember. God loved you first. Loved you so much that he paid that price that we deserve to pay on the cross. Because he wanted us to receive his mercy, his life, be reconciled to him, to be restored to fellowship, to have a home in heaven someday, amen, but to have heaven in our heart as the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us through faith. In Acts 13, verse 36, the Bible said David had served his generation. In other words, he had fulfilled his God-given purpose in life. For David, after he had served his own generation, by the will of God, he fell asleep and was buried with his fathers and saw corruption, speaking about his mortal body had decayed in the grave. Because in context, it's talking about the resurrection of our Lord, how he saw no corruption. But David had served his generation faithfully. David had done what was required of him by the Lord. He had run the good race, all right? He fought the good fight, and he had overcome. Hallelujah. Even though David had failed, God had mercy for David because David was repentant. Because David had turned back to the Lord, amen, and he had confessed his sins, and he had taken responsibility for his own rebellion. And God had mercy on him. In 2 Chronicles 16 and 9, the Bible says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are what? Loyal to him." So like David, I love David. I want to be like him, you know, other than of course, the Bathsheba thing, right? But David was a good example in a lot of ways. He was a man after God's own heart. He was a worshiper. You know, he had a heart for God. And yet, he was not perfect, but he had been faithful to serve God's purpose in his generation. God's looking for loyalty. He's not looking for perfection or perfect people. God uses us in our imperfection. Do we not have this treasure in an earthen vessel? You see, people need Jesus, amen. So we want to present Jesus to people, not ourselves. But we want to be a good example as well. Amen. And God gives us the ability to do that. He gives us the power of his spirit. Amen. Of self-control. So what is the Lord doing? He says he's roaming throughout the earth looking for those whose heart is what? Loyal to him. God's looking for those who are willing to do all his will. And I know today I'm talking to many, if not all here, who... you want to do just that. You want to be loyal to the Lord. You want to be a man or a woman after God's own heart. You want to do what God has called you to do. You want to finish well. You want to finish strong. So we're here to receive and to listen and to obey. And how do we do this? How do we walk this out? How do we live this life? I thought last night was such a good message about just relying, you know, again, right, on the power of the Holy Spirit. Having a relationship with the Holy Spirit who God has given to us. He's the teacher. Jesus said that God would what? Send another helper to us. Hallelujah, that would be with us forever. The precious Holy Spirit. Yeah, but you and I can acknowledge, and if we're honest, we'll say, yeah, that's what I want. I want to be loyal. I want to be a man after God's own heart, but I don't always live up to that. You know, but again, God's not throwing you away because you make a mistake. A lot of times people abandon the faith or even walk away from the Lord because they listen to the wrong voice too long. And the enemy told them that God doesn't love them anymore, that God's upset with them, or God, you know, has discarded them because of their failure. Hear me now. And if we start to entertain that voice and listen to that, then we will give up in the fight. We can become disheartened or discouraged. You see, God encourages his people. The devil discourages. God wants his people to have confidence, confident assurance in him, who he is, and his promises towards us. To know the love of God that passes knowledge. To know the love of God in our hearts. To know that we are dearly loved of our Father. That we are his dear children. And as children, we're going to make mistakes, but our Father doesn't discard us because we make a mistake. He has plenty of mercy. If we will repent, if we will turn back to him, amen, he will forgive us. He's faithful to do that. And to do what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word loyal here means to be friendly towards God. Or to be ready for him. So, God wants to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal, friendly towards him. Any friends of God here today? We're friendly towards the Lord, amen? And so, throughout the Bible, and the Holy Spirit wrote this book. Can you say amen? He used men, but the Holy Spirit wrote through men, amen, the Scriptures. Throughout the Scriptures, we see over and over again great men and great women of God who fail. And the Lord made sure that was going to be put in the book so that we would have hope when we make mistakes too, all right? So we wouldn't beat ourselves down and allow the enemy to discourage us, to snuff out our confidence, and to rob us, amen, of the joy of living a life of service for the King. And bearing fruit unto eternal life, hallelujah, and having great joy in his presence in that day. The devil's a thief and a liar, and he wants to beat you down. He wants to use lies to discourage you, to rob you of your confidence in God. But we have to turn that voice off, amen, and turn on to the voice of God. What does God say? What does God promise? God says he's not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. God says that his grace is sufficient for me. God says that I can do what? All things through Christ. Christ, who strengthens me. Hallelujah. If God be for me, who can be against me? You see, that's the promise. Our faith in what God says. And anything that's not agreeing with what he said, you see, when we fail, the Father simply wants us to come to him. Don't wait. Don't do like Adam did. Try to hide. Because remember who came looking for him. Adam was running and hiding, but Jesus came looking for him. How many know the Lord came to seek and to save that which was lost? And he loves his children. And so sometimes he has to seek us out because we're feeling down or discouraged or beaten up over something maybe we failed to do or something we did do. But God doesn't want us to live defeated lives. He wants us to simply say, okay, I acknowledge that. I was wrong. I repent. I changed my mind about it. I'm not going back anymore to do that. I'm going to line up with God's will for my life. I'm going to put that behind me and I'm going to walk together with Jesus moving forward this year. Amen. Because God has plans for you. God wants us to be friendly towards him. Amen. And we're friendly towards him when we understand that he's friendly towards us. He loves us. Hallelujah. Remember, we see, of course, the failure of Samson as well, of Solomon, right? These are men of God. They failed, but the Holy Spirit made sure it got put in the book. So we'll know, well, God didn't throw them away because they failed. Sometimes there is loss due to our failure because we didn't obey God, amen? But God doesn't throw us away. He never stops loving us. How many here get disappointed with your children sometimes? Amen. Do you hate your kids because they fail? No. You're disappointed because they fail. You want them to do well. And that's why we shouldn't be overly harsh with them when they make mistakes. There's got to be some grace in our discipline. Can you say amen? Just like God has been gracious to us. We also need to understand, and when we do discipline our children, we need to try to explain to them why. Because we care, because we love you, because we want what's best for you. You know, God knew ahead of time that David would fail. He knows ahead of time if we're going to fail. But that doesn't mean He quit loving us. He wants us to learn from our failures and grow up. God wants you to get back in the race. Quit wallowing and licking your wounds. Amen. It's time to rise up again. Get back in the race. Forgetting that which is behind. Press on. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of" who? "Of God, and not of us." People need Jesus. God needs a vessel. So He calls you and I to partner with Him. Amen. And to walk closely and carefully so we avoid the trap of the enemy. But if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, praise God. The Lord Jesus Christ. We call upon our Lord. "Lord, I'm sorry. I have to do it a lot, guys. I'm not going out and committing major sins, but I sin. Sometimes I get wrong thoughts, or I do something or say something I shouldn't. What do? I don't just go in the corner and curl up and die. God wants you to just run to Him. Amen. When you make a mistake, run to your Father. He's got mercy. He's got grace for you. He'll help you. You know, God is actually for you. He's not against you. He's rooting for you. He wants you to do well. He wants you to finish well. Just like any good father wants their children to do well. Do you trust in God's mercy? Even though David failed the Lord at times, he never forsook the Lord. Over and over, he turned to the Lord in repentance and faith. Because he trusted in the mercy of God. Hebrews 4:14. "So then, since we have a great high priest," who's that? "Who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. For he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God." That's what he's saying. Don't run from God. Come confidently. Come boldly to the throne of God. "There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." So never allow failure to keep you from completing your God-given mission on the earth. Understand you're going to fail at times, but that doesn't make you a failure. You can learn from a failure. It can be a stepping stone to success. All right. God alone is able to pick you and I up when we fall. Amen. God alone is able to see you through to the end. And God wants you to succeed in His purpose. He's really for you. Everyone has successes. Everyone has successes and failures in life. I can remember some times when I had done some stupid things and I was really beating myself up over it. And somebody, I think it was one time when I was at work, a brother came up and he said, "Hey, chill out. Everybody makes mistakes." When I was working for Panasonic making microchips, we're talking about million-dollar mistakes. If you get one number wrong in your data entry or whatever, and we're talking about, you know, these mistakes can cost a lot. So you're under this intense pressure all the time that they want productivity and speed, but they want accuracy, because if you're inaccurate about something, then you can cause a lot of damage and a great cost to the company. And so I was always trying to do everything perfectly, because you pretty much need to, you know, but nobody got it right all the time. That's just reality. But I remember when I would make a mistake, occasionally I was like so beat up over it, because of course they made sure you realized what you did. And I was so thankful when somebody would say, "You know what? Everybody makes mistakes. It's not unique to you." "Oh, I'm just a loser." No, the devil told you that. Quit listening to his lies. You're not a failure either. because you fail. Failure is part of growing up, part of learning and developing. A wise person will learn from his mistakes. Amen? And a wise person will also learn from the mistakes that others have made. As we read the word, amen, we say, well, they did that. That didn't work very well. I don't think I want to repeat that. Let's learn, amen, be wise. Let the scriptures teach us, amen, the word of God. But never allow your failure to keep you from completing your God-given mission. Remember a champion boxer. I don't think there's ever been a champion boxer who hasn't at least lost one fight. Right? Sometimes many fights before they finally got to the championship and won the championship. But they had to know how to take a punch, and they had to know how to give a punch. And not quit because they got beat up or because they lost the match, right? God wants us to learn that you're going to get hit sometimes. You're going to make mistakes sometimes. You're going to miss the mark sometimes. But you're not a quitter, amen? You're not a loser. You're a child of God. You have a Father that cares for you, a Father that will forgive you, and a Father that will give you the grace, amen, to learn from that mistake and correct your future so that you will succeed and that you will finish your race with joy. God wants you to finish well. So a champion is one who has a heart to not quit, but to persevere. Doesn't matter how many times you failed God. God still loves you, and he wants to work out his plan in your life. Am I speaking to somebody today? 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in the vain. It's not in vain. Why did he say that? He says because he knows where you're going to make a mistake. You're going to fail at times. He said, but know this, that your labor in the Lord is never in vain. Keep at it. Get back up. Get back in the race. You only have so much time. The finish line is up ahead. Amen. The Lord is there waiting for you. He's calling you heavenward. He's the one that's waiting for us at the end. The joy is him. He's gone before us, our forerunner, our elder brother in the sense. Amen. He's our King, our Lord, our Savior. But we're joint heirs. And he wants us to do well. Even though Israel had failed, God's mercies were still new for them each and every day. Again, Lamentations 3:22, though or through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Because what? His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Huh. Some days, like what Brother Tom was talking about on, was it a Friday night? Talking about the last year and, you know, oh, my God, we got through that year, you know, and yet we have hope because we remember it's a new day. It's a new dawning. Today is a day that we'll never get to revisit. Make the most of it. Live for God. Amen. Forget about yesterday. Forget about the past. As far as, you know, the failures, you can learn from those things. But don't let them determine who you are. Or define who you are. Understand your identity as a child of God and deeply loved of your Father, that he has a purpose, a plan for your life. And when you make a mistake, don't ever run away from him. Quickly run back to your Father. Quickly, right away. Amen. If you get into it with your wife or your husband, quickly take it. Amen. And deal with it. Take it to the Lord, and then as soon as you can, deal with it. Don't go to bed angry, like the Bible says, right? And don't allow yourself to get into sin when you're angry. But even in that, even if we failed in relationships, God has mercy. God has a new beginning. God has a way. He'll show you the way. God didn't quit loving you. He didn't give up on you because you failed. As long as you don't quit, you're not a failure. We get back in the race and we run this thing to win. Hallelujah. Because God is the one who will enable us to do it. He's with us always, every day. His grace is enough. And the devil lies to people. He wants to tell sometimes that God no longer loves them. There are many people that are in bondage right now because they have been convinced by the devil that God is through with them, that God wants nothing to do with them, that they've been too sinful, they've been too awful, and therefore God hates them, God doesn't want anything to do with them anymore. And if they continue to believe that lie, then he'll take them right down into the pit. But we need to understand that our Father has mercy, he has grace. If we will turn to him, if we will forsake our sin, amen, if we will confess it to God, he's merciful, he's just, he's gracious, isn't he? He won't hold it against us anymore. There's always mercy available. So what has God done? God has revealed himself to us through his Son. If you want to know what God is like, the Father, you look at Jesus. Learn of Jesus. He's been revealed to us through the Son. What did God come to do? God came, first of all, to save us, really from ourselves. He came to rescue us, to save us, and through us bear fruit. God came to destroy the works of the devil in our lives. Amen? And also to destroy the works of the devil through us towards others. God came to advance his kingdom through us. God wants us to be about his business, co-laborers together in the harvest. Amen. Someday, we know the Lord is going to return, isn't he? And he's going to receive us. Are you ready? You looking forward to that? If we believe the lie that we are a failure, we won't accomplish anything for God. You see, once again, the devil knows this. And so he uses lies in an attempt to discourage and defeat us. We need to quit listening to his voice and start saying, Lord, what do you say? What are you saying? That's what I'm going to entertain. That's what I'm going to meditate on day and night. That's what I'm going to focus on. Amen? We need to know what God's heart is by his Spirit and his Word. Amen? We can come to know him, know his ways, know who he truly is. You remember, I'm going to finish with this. I always like to pick on Peter. But Peter failed God, didn't he? He failed the Lord. But how many knew that that didn't surprise the Lord? Jesus knew Peter would fail him before Peter did. I know we've all been very confident in ourselves at times. Oh, we've got this thing in the bag. We got this thing nailed. We're gonna just be victorious from here on out. And sometimes without realizing it, we're actually more self-confident than we are confident in the Lord, in his grace. And so God has to wean us off of ourselves and self-dependence. Amen. By allowing us, just like he did with Peter, to fail. So that Peter would learn to lean on the Lord for his grace. To walk carefully among his people, his sheep. Because even though Peter had failed, Jesus never stopped loving him. He said, Peter, I prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And when you are converted, when you learn your lesson, then you strengthen your brothers. Then you will be my vessel. Then I can use you. Right now, you're too full of yourself. You're too proud. You think you got this thing. You think you're doing this. No, you can't do what God's called you to do on your own. We have to be in partnership with God. We have to rely upon the power of God every day. Amen? You see, it didn't surprise Jesus. Although Peter failed, it did not make him a failure. But a follower of Jesus who made a mistake. God's not looking for perfect vessels. Get over it, all right? He's looking for teachable, available, and willing vessels. Teachable. Available, willing vessels. All right? there are so many Christians that they don't serve God because they're waiting for this golden moment when they arrive in this perfect state of being always perfect. Well, God says, I already know beforehand, just like he knew Peter, you're going to make mistakes, you're going to fail, but that's going to be part of the process. You're going to learn, you're going to grow as a result of this, but it doesn't mean I can't use you. He can't use us, guys, if we quit. So don't quit. Don't ever quit. Quitting has to come out of your vocabulary, all right? God is with you, and because he's with you, you can do everything he's called you to do, and you can do it well because of his power, amen, at work within you to accomplish his perfect will for you. So God being with us, being for us, he's not against us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? It's time, amen, to put away the past, the failures, the mistakes. Thank God for his mercy that is available this day. Hallelujah.